Hi, this is John Williams in Post Edit. We just recorded this week's Mincing Rascals, the first installment since the president used a bad word to describe some countries. In the course of our conversation about this, some of us used the word, some of us did not. Those who didn't use it all the time. There was no consistency about it. It begs the question, what do you say in casual conversations about this? Not because we don't think Donald Trump didn't say it, you'll hear our opinions about that, but because I don't think it's necessary to further insult you with its coarseness, we're bleeping ourselves when it comes up. If you want to say it, I won't be offended, but the world has enough rude behavior, and we don't want to add on. So here we go with the PG-13 version of the Mincing Rascals. Today is Thursday. It is January 18th, 2018. That means my calendar reads 11818. I don't know. It looks cooler when I look at it than when I say it. It's 11:15 in the morning, and this is John Williams. This is the Mincing Rascals, a weekly podcast we record at the studios of WGN Radio. If you think this is swell, and we do, and we hope you do too, share it with your friends and check out my show weekdays from 1 to 3 on WGN Radio. Scott Stannis.
I'm Scott Stannis, editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and creator of the comic strip Prickly City and the co-host for the Prickly City podcast right here on WGN Plus.
This is Eric Zorn, the surprisingly healthy columnist from the Tribune. I run Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. I don't sound healthy, but I feel great.
I'm Steve Bertrand, host of the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN.
Lots to talk about in this week's podcast. Last week, we spent some time on would you trade a wall for DACA. The Dickie Durbin thing has exploded in the week since we spoke last, and the S-hole comment by the president. This is a podcast, I can say it, but whatever.
Rather rude of the president, because it had to have happened as we were recording last week's episode.
Because it was when we discovered that he used that.
It was noon
on
Thursday.
Well, that's one of the reasons, Steve, that we always put a timestamp on this.
Right.
Is because people will say, why aren't they talking about that? Well, the reason was because he was saying it while we were saying.
Boy, it's funny how quickly things move, too, because for my money, the whole conversation has passed. Is there anything else left to be said about it, Scott Stantis?
No. No, I'm still not convinced he said it, to be honest.
Come on.
Do you think he said house?
I'm not sure what he said, but
do you think he said something that denigrates Haitians?
Oh, sure.
He said that he didn't even do that.
Okay, well.
There's one person on the record saying that he, maybe two, the other senator, Perdue, saying that he didn't say one or the other. Actually, that's not even true. Cotton's not even on the record saying he didn't say House.
Right, but Dick Durbin is the only one who said he did say
it. No, that's not true. It was reported The Post did it. The New York Times did it. Fox News said they confirmed it. NBC News said they confirmed it.
Well, here's the timeline.
With unnamed
and
sources.
And Lindsey Graham all but confirmed it, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm surprised, Scott.
But I'm still saying, you write a news story, you have two sources to confirm something like this, and we don't have two sources.
Well, wait a minute. Well, how can you say that? The Post and the New York Times all say they have multiple sources.
Okay.
They do. I mean, that was before Durbin spoke, they all cited multiple sources. NBC did as well.
But the president denies it. And the uncertainty about, since none of us were there, the uncertainty about what was said is why I didn't say it on the radio. I was all set that next day, Friday, to burst onto the air and say, this is what the president said, so that the American public would have the full freight. And by the American public, I mean the hundreds of people that listen to my show, would have the full freight of the president's words, right? I mean, I didn't feel like I needed to clean it up a little bit because I wanted him to pay the price. But since he denies it, now it's a he said, he said, and I don't need to take sides on an issue that I don't have any firsthand knowledge of.
What's funny, too, is that the White House issued a statement Thursday evening when the kerfuffle began, not denying it, essentially embracing it. And and there's reporting as well that the president called a lot of his friends that night sort of bragging about it, the term, saying this will play really well with my people.
I believe that he would have said it. I believe he did say it. I can't go on the air, though, and say the president said it because I don't have a tape and the president denies it. You don't like
okay,
that.
But you got to keep that standard for everything then. If a story is reported with multiple sources, I mean, Jared Kushner has not said that he talked with Russian agents in the Trump Hotel, but we're saying it happened.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Steve, but you got me painted in the corner on that one. Maybe it's just because I so dislike the word, and maybe the word doesn't matter. It's really did he denigrate Haitians, El Salvadorans, and Africans?
Does he think that these people, these Nigerians, are going to never go back to their huts?
By the way, Nigerians that come to this country are better educated than we are.
Right.
That's actually a plus one for the home team. Maybe they're not Norwegians, but Nigerians don't seem to hurt the population base as a rule.
No, one of the things that's very odd about this whole reason that he attacks these countries is that we're talking about individuals coming over. We're not talking about, I mean, the countries themselves, and some of the GOP people went on the air and said, well, these countries are in trouble. They are a wreck. They're poor economies. But we're talking about the individuals who are coming from those countries, and he was passing a judgment on those people.
Right. No, I mean, and my point, whether or not he said specifically what he's alleged to have said, my point is this, that, you know, you look at the German immigration of the latter part of the 18th century, that was coming from a crap hole. You talk about the Irish immigration in the middle part of the 19th century, they were coming from a crap hole. You talk about the Italian immigration, latter part of the 19th and early part of the 20th century, they were coming from a crap hole. They all come from someplace that's not desirable, that's why they're leaving, and they're coming someplace that offers freedom and an opportunity to succeed.
I got an email from one of the passengers on my Steve Bertrand travel trips,
yeah,
and they want to organize a crap hole tour, which we could do and see some of the most beautiful parts of Europe.
But you know, what I don't like is this sort of denigrating the people because of the place they come from, too. I mean, like, I was getting email from people going, hey, I'm from this bleep bleep in Wisconsin, and I'm okay with that, you know, characterization. And I think that that is not fair to people whose lives are so unfortunate, whose government has been so corrupt that they would like to flee that place. And I don't blame them from coming here. That place is bad they're coming from, I don't think is a fair reflection on them.
Well, one of the things that happened here is this thing screwed up completely the immigration deal that they had reached. And it strikes me that Trump has shown this uncanny facility for messing up things that he could have pointed to as achievements. Like this, yeah, his base might have been angry. His hardcore base might have been angry about some of the deep parts of this deal. But that's what making a deal is about in Washington. We've talked about that on this podcast before, that, you know, you've got to give a little somewhere here and there, and you make a deal and you move forward. If Trump had done that, for his first year in office, he might really be able to be crowing about, because he already is up bragging. He's got a pretty, you know, the economy is humming along. He's got ISIS on the run. He's got things that he can point to. And if he hadn't been, you know, messing things up with these stupid off-brand.
And as we sit, he did it again today. This is Thursday. The government runs out of money tomorrow. And he tweeted out on Thursday morning that it's CHIP, right? The
healthcare program.
Program, which has got bipartisan support, but it needs to be extended. He is part of the Republican plan to lure Democrats to vote to keep the government open. He tweeted out this morning that he doesn't think it belongs as part of that short-term plan. 2 hours later, 3 hours later, the White House came out with a statement saying, oh, yeah, yes, he does. He's in favor of the House plan. So he did the flip, just the same as he did on the FISA legislation last week.
Was that because of Fox and Friends?
I don't know what. That's a good question. We'll have to look at the tapes.
Or was it a flip at all? I mean, maybe while his staff is saying one thing, General Kelly says that, you know, he's been able to persuade the president about the reality of a wall. And then hours later, the president said, the wall has always been the wall that I imagined.
Senator Graham said this week that he didn't say it directly, but he said, you know, the president on Tuesday wanted a bill about love last week, about immigration. It's about love.
And he had one.
And then he had one. And then on Thursday he came, and that was the famous meeting with Graham in Durban. Graham said that the president was not served by his staff. He said, the guy on Tuesday, I think, is still there, but his staff screwed him up. And someone said, was it General Kelly? And he said, all I'll say is General Kelly is on his staff. So I think if you're thinking that General Kelly is one of these guys working for a kumbaya or I compromise, I don't know that that's the case.
So today is the 18th. We mentioned that at the beginning of this podcast. Saturday will be the 20th. If you are not listening to it then, the one-year anniversary of Donald Trump's presidency is just around the corner. Scott, I put in front of you, do you have it there?
I do.
Yeah. And you don't need to address this right now, or at least you might look at it now. We'll address it now. The brackets. So we did one after 6 months of Donald Trump as president, and now we have another one set to go after the next 6 months, and that will be on Saturday. The first 6 months cuckoo Trump brackets, had a bunch of teams vying for what would be the nuttiest moment of the presidency after 6 months. Everything from the escalator ride down where he announced his candidacy to Covfefe to the time covers in his office, which weren't real, all of that stuff. And the winner was the Boy Scout speech, that bizarre speech that he gave to the Boy Scouts. If you go from, say, June or from about there to today, what are the next 16 teams, moments of the Trump's presidency that just defy logic? And we don't have the brackets made out yet. What I'm asking you guys to help me do is figure out who the number one seeds are. I'm putting all of this on my Facebook page. I'm King John on Facebook. You can see the teams that are vying for it. But Eric, of those 20 moments that we've listed there, the mooch, the police speech, Charlottesville, etc., who are your four number one seeds?
My four number one seeds, first of all, Hall has to be number one. Number one seed. When he took back his statement that the Access Hollywood tapes were real. I mean, he admitted that those tapes were real in the campaign and addressed them at the time and apologized for them. And now he's even when he came back and said maybe they're fake. That's got to be a number one seed. The Pocahontas moment, and this is the reason why, you know, I mean, he's referred to Elizabeth Warren as Pocahontas many times, but he did this in the context of giving this award to these World War II, what,
the code talkers,
the Navajo code talkers. In that context, it was just an appalling moment. And then I would say his entire flipping and flopping and the things that he said after Charlottesville were just...
Yeah, I'd say Charlottesville has to be ranked number one in one of the brackets, just because it was so heinous. Some of them are good people. Some of the white supremacists
I'm
are
sure
good
on
people.
Both sides, yes.
the police speech, which kind of gets lost in the haze because it was a while ago, but when the president of the United States, the person who appoints the attorney general, the chief law enforcement officer of the country, says that you should rough up and essentially torture people who are accused of a crime. By the way, in the United States, you're innocent until proven guilty.
That's the thing about that. Those are people that are accused of a crime.
Right.
Not criminals.
Right.
They're
like
being arrested.
When they're being put
they're
in the car.
They're not even charged.
Right.
They're not even charged.
Like, don't protect their head when you're putting them in the car.
And then he laughed and everybody cheered.
Yeah. It was a...
So that's another number one.
Yeah. And so I have that, and I also have Stable Genius just because it's so bloody absurd.
How about you, Steve? That's three. You give us another one if you come up with one.
Well, yeah, I have those three. The fourth, I think, would be retweeting the video against Muslims because, you know, in the whole meeting kerfuffle, we'd lost sight of the fact that the president canceled the trip to England. This country with whom we have a special relationship, he had to cancel that, and a big part of that was the fallout from these retweets by this British hate group. We didn't even talk about the excuses, the stupid things he said about why he's not going. You know,
yeah,
that
right.
That the Obama administration made a bad real estate. He thinks people are fools. You know. And because he tweets out that he's not going because the Obama administration made a bad real estate deal, it was set up by the Bush administration. Not only that, the U.S. embassy in England put out a statement later that day saying, "No, we moved for security reasons and for safety," contradicting the president of the United States. So I think the retweet of the Muslim videos belongs there.
My overall one seed will be the asshole. My other three one seeds are Scott, the police speech, okay. Charlottesville, that was just gigantic. And then there's a bunch of them that are like this one. You could pick any of them, but I picked the fight with the San Juan mayor. Remember that after the hurricane blew that place to smithereens and they weren't getting the help that they needed. And she spoke her mind about that. And then he began to attack her. And the timing and the tone of it were just so Trumpian. So I put that as another number one seed, although I could have plugged in the LeVar Ball battle if I wanted. Remember, he goes to China and those UCLA basketball players are in trouble. And so then
they should be thanking
he
me.
He crows about it. And then when they didn't thank him sufficiently, he got mad at the dad and all of them. So I'll put the fight with the San Juan mayor as my other number one seed. Let's talk about a few things in Chicago, which had a record year for tourism, but residents are fleeing the state in such numbers that the Tribune is asking its readers to tell stories on social media using the hashtag Illinois Exodus. Scott Stanis' cartoon today in the Chicago Tribune says, don't worry about a Hawaii-like false missile alert. We don't have enough people left in Chicago to create a great panic.
Wow.
Maybe we could advertise to companies we're trying to woo that all this means that there will be less traffic for their employees. Chicago still is in the hunt for Amazon's HQ2. We're in the final 20.
We are.
And the mayor, said, I don't know what Apple wants, but we'll give it to him. If Apple wants to have another headquarters, we'll whatever. He didn't even know anything about it. He goes, yes, we're in. Whatever they want, we've got. I don't know what the question is here, except what do you all think about living in Chicago right now? And if you were a company trying to find a headquarters or a place for your employees, I've asked before, what do you say about this place?
I'm stunned that we're I am not stunned that we're still on the list for 20. But then, to be fair,
But
to be fair, so is Newark. Okay, so let's.
Have you been to Newark? Maybe
I
it's
have.
Lovely.
It's not.
Oh, yes and no.
I'm sorry, but Scott, I don't appreciate your just jumping on the Chicago sucks bandwagon.
Well,
and that's what it sounds like you're doing.
You're wearing the flag, for God's sake.
You are wearing a T-shirt right now with the Chicago flag printed on it.
I am, and I love this place, and I think it's a great city. But the politics are toxic and dysfunctional. The taxes are onerous, and they're only going to get worse. But what would draw people here, what was on their list, was diversity. We have that. Mass transit. We have that. And a world-class airport. Those are three major points. And they only had like five things they were absolutely looking for. We have a mayor who's, you know, like you mentioned, is going to do anything he can to get this here, the Amazon HQ2, and obviously now the Apple, whatever the hell that is, the Apple campus. I'm just thinking, you look at this and then you see it opposed to, say, Miami or juxtaposed against Dallas, you know, a place that is booming, has all the things I just mentioned, but also has no income tax. And the government seems to work pretty well. No government works great. Go ahead.
Chicago's booming, right? I mean, what are the numbers?
Well, we're losing population, but
the state is losing population.
No, the city has too.
Okay,
don't
but
forget,
as far as jobs coming into the city center, I wasn't prepared for this, but I thought there were just numbers or studies that downtown Chicago is absolutely booming with people coming in.
And tourism has never been higher. I mean, that's different. Tourists leave.
I mean, I get
residents.
I concede all everything you said. But I think that the Chicago, the downtown area is, I thought the job growth, you guys are both smarter than me and newspaper people, and you're looking at me like I'm wrong.
But. No, I think you're right. I mean, Chicago, it's a beautiful city, you know, 10 months of the year, let's say.
Great mass transportation.
Mass transportation is pretty good. The culture here is good. I've lived here 37 years. I really love it. But the question is, you know, what's going on here? What the problem is? I don't think the politics in the city of Chicago are particularly toxic compared to other big cities around the country. I feel like, you know, Illinois has had a problem, a long-term problem of mismanagement at the state level that infects the way things happen here.
Yeah.
But I think there are ways that this city and the state can turn itself around. And it's a hub for, you know, for academia. It's a hub for transportation. I mean, it's got a lot going for it.
And I'm not sure that it's rightly, but we do try and insulate these prospective companies from the problems of state mismanagement. I mean, what's the fallout from that? Higher taxes. But we give them tax breaks, or we give them such money up front that they can weather the storm. I sure hope that, wouldn't it be great if we got one of these things? I think it would be fantastic.
It's funny because I think we're a world-class city.
And we don't need this.
And we do need it. I mean, it'd be great to have, but we also feel like we're somehow undeserving. We're a world-class city. This is one of the places in the world where people want to come
Go through St. Louis or Milwaukee or Minneapolis. Great cities.
Right.
Wonderful cities. The experience there is so different than the Chicago
experience.
Right.
And what makes Chicago superior to, say, Los Angeles or New York is this: it wouldn't be just another big company moving there. This would be something significant for Chicago. So that would be a plus. There are a lot of pluses. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that if I'm Amazon and I'm looking, and I come back to my notion earlier that three of the cities listed on their list that they released this morning, three of the 20 are from the Washington, D.C. area. Okay, it's northern Virginia. Right. It's a county next to it in Maryland, and it's Washington, D.C.
So that suggests that they're interested, because they've got a lot of employees that are already near Washington.
Well, apparently the owner of the company has a newspaper there.
Oh, that's right.
But it's failing. It's a failing.
Speaking of the failing media, your colleagues in the Chicago Sun-Times had a roundtable with Bob Daber, J.B. Pritzker, Daniel Biss, Chris Kennedy, and Teal Hardeman. They're all running for governor. There, Biss criticized Pritzker, saying that he purposely let a Gold Coast mansion he owned fall into disrepair to decrease its property value and therefore his tax bill.
That's true.
He said, when you rip the toilets out of your mansion to decrease your property taxes, that drives up my property tax bill. They all have admitted of late that they've smoked marijuana in their youth. I guess the question is...
Was that asked of them?
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, really? When is that going to go away?
Well, yeah. I mean, really, is that relevant?
I wanted to ask the porn star question. Well, have you paid off a porn star?
Well, which is the right answer? Because
paid
which
off?
Cost? No. Which cost you more votes if you say you did smoke pot or you didn't?
Why? Because if you say you didn't, we know you did, and
who
you're
wants
a liar,
to vote for that
or
guy?
You're just no
yeah.
fun.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. No. I don't know what the right answer to that is. It doesn't even seem to me to be relevant anymore. But do you guys hold hope that the election of any one of these people would make the state appreciably better in 4 years? Can one of them make a difference?
On both sides,
years?
I would love to see a Jeannie Ives Biss race, because both those people, diametrically opposed on virtually every issue, at least stand for something and have for their careers. It's not going to happen.
Jeannie Ives is very far out there, and she's not doing very well in the polls because she hasn't getting any national money right now, as far as
I saw that. Yeah, she got about $500,000 in, right, in her coffers right now?
Yeah, not much. So she's not
spending that every 10 minutes.
Right. Jeannie Ives is an ideologue, and I don't think candidates like that have ever done well statewide in Illinois.
Well, I think downstate she'll, in the primary?
Downstate,
I think downstate she'll do
downstate,
great.
Downstate, yeah. I think Pat Quinn lost every county, but what, Cook County? And I mean, he won the governorship.
Okay.
So you don't have to win down. To win downstate. I do have hope that it'd be better to have to get rid of this kind of this polarization. I think if Rauner's reelected and we have the same dynamic in the General Assembly, we're going to have 4 more years of what we've just had, which is just nothing. This paralysis, this increasing debt because we can't agree on a budget and things like that. And we have to agree on a budget. We have to agree on a tax program. And I do have hope that any one of those Democrats you talk about would be able to work with the General Assembly and come up with a better system going forward.
But let me ask you, you don't think Pritzker going forward, I mean, especially the hit ads that came out from the Rauner campaign this week about the phone conversations with Blago, I mean, and the fact that he pulled out toilets so his mansion wouldn't be taxed at a higher level. I mean, you don't think he's vulnerable on this?
I
mean,
oh, no, I think he's vulnerable. I definitely think he's vulnerable on it. I don't understand fully the toilet thing. I know that he was rehabbing this mansion next to him, and so he was, taking out fixtures and so on. Now, exactly when and how he did.
Oh, don't be a potty apologist.
No, I don't. I haven't studied that issue. It hasn't really come up yet. But I have done a lot more listening to these tapes between, I listened to the whole, there's going to be a 15-minute ad this weekend that Rauner is running that has the entire conversation between Pritzker and Blagojevich back in November of 2008, just a little bit before Blagojevich was arrested. I don't hear in those tapes any kind of smoking gun. You never hear Pritzker offering to give money.
The optics are so terrible.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, just the voice of Blagojevich and the voice of Pritzker on the phone, and the fact that Pritzker is kind of being nice to him and cozying up to him and definitely floating himself for state treasurer, but there's no corrupt deal offered. And it's just, you're right, the optics are bad, but there's nothing in that in the conversation. And they play the whole 15 minutes, you listen to it and go like, well, so Pritzker was never called as a witness. Pritzker wasn't part of this trial.
Sounds worse than it is.
It doesn't even sound all that bad. I mean,
The ad does.
Yeah.
Only because it's him talking. And then we'll do this. Talking to Blagojevich.
I made this point. I made this point in my column last week, which is that the deal that Blagojevich talks about making with Madigan, which is like, look, you go along with my plan to expand taxes and do all the stuff that I want to do, and I'll make your daughter senator. If he had stopped there, if he'd gotten that deal from Madigan, and there's no evidence that he ever even actually proposed it to Madigan. If he had done that deal with Madigan, he wouldn't be in prison today, because that's not illegal. It's kind of skeezy, but it's not illegal. You know, it's like that's what politicians do. They do it all the time, and that's political horse trading, and that's what Blagojevich keeps saying that he was doing with all his other deals. I don't think he was. I think he crossed the line in other instances, but that's why this particular thing wasn't part of the prosecution against him, and that's why Pritzker saying, I would take that deal, is not necessarily like an admission of crime. I know, Scott, yes, it never sounds good when you're talking to Rod Blagojevich. But.
No, but I mean, and J.B. Pritzker, not actionable, is a hell of a campaign slogan.
Well, so I think going back to John's question is, can Pritzker be a force enough to not overcome Madigan, but to coerce or co-opt Madigan to get things done that Madigan doesn't necessarily want to do? I don't know if he... I hope he is, but I don't know that he would be.
I think it's been shown that he's pretty much Madigan's boy in this race, and that's a danger, obviously. I mean, you're gonna get things done, but
how
beholden, be too, I like it.
The question would be how beholden he is to Madigan. He won't be beholden to Madigan or anybody, because all he's doing is spending his own money on this campaign. I don't think he's solicited donations at all.
Is he a billionaire, Pritzker?
Oh yeah.
And is Rauner 42? A billionaire?
Yes.
I don't think Rauner is technically a billionaire.
Okay. Is that right?
He's in that neighborhood. He can see there from here. Is Kennedy a billionaire?
No, he's not a billionaire.
He's a multimillionaire.
Yeah, multi.
Am I missing any other millionaires or billionaires? I don't know.
Daniel Biss would like to be. I would too.
Yeah, but no kidding. I don't know. I wish that we did not have to rely on
that sweet, sweet WGN money.
Not on the air. I'm not.
One other thing, guys. One of you, Eric, maybe you brought up Montana Wild Hack or Stormy Daniels or whatever her name is. This woman that the president did or didn't have an affair with. More reporting this week that it did happen.
The Wall Street Journal.
Well, that was the initial report. Now she's coming out and contradicting the own letter that the president's attorney issued.
Someone's printing an interview that she did 10 or 11 years ago where she talked about it.
This is all just fun gossip, right? This is good for people that don't like Trump. Utterly without consequence, right? No reason to put this in the It Matters
camp.
Well,
I mean, he wrote in his book, right, that he was a serial philanderer. And this is just more evidence of that.
The only person for whom this is really an issue is Mrs. Trump. I mean, how humiliating for her. That's all. That's to me, other than that, it's just good gossip that can be ignored. Maybe it's true, can be ignored.
We're post-adultery in terms of our politics.
In this case, I think we are.
Yeah, I mean,
if that were Obama, it would be a different story. If that were, I don't know, not Clinton, we dealt with that.
I hate that.
What?
Well, you're right, but it's not right. I don't want to say it's not fair. It's not right that he is so tarnished that the tarnishing doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. You said off the air or out before the podcast started that the reason that Trump can't be impeached is not because he has one bad mark, but because he has 20 teams in his brackets.
What you're saying, John, is that this doesn't matter to any of his supporters.
This is the part of the podcast where we do our recommendations.
You've been picked on today. Sorry about that.
Today?
And that audio will be in the podcast. It's time where we do our recommendations, something that you're reading, watching, listening to, or consuming.
Best weekend of football are the championship games. So sit down. I plan to put my iPhone on grayscale so it's not attractive to me and watch. I won't do it, but I'd like to watch the games.
Can I ask, John, were you watching the Vikings game?
Yeah,
and I was. Did you just go crazy? Because you're a Minnesota guy.
I was watching my son and daughter-in-law, and it was a funny thing happened because it all happened so quickly. You know, we had put the game in the loss column. We were emotionally and mentally there. And then I kind of blink, and my son is on the floor in front of the TV, almost in a worshipful pose, on his knees with his hands down. And he's just going, I can't believe this. You can watch football for the rest of your life, and you will not see a more unpredictable finish to an NFL, let alone playoff game. It was bizarre. It was fantastic. It was so much fun. The Vikings have a history of finding a way to not win the big games. They've never won a Super Bowl. And this year, the Super Bowl is in Minnesota at their brand spanking new stadium. So everybody was so wanting it. And like the Cubs, waiting for the curse, waiting for the black cat. And then the game disintegrated in the last few seconds, and you thought, boy, once again, we're not going to make it. And then we did. Wow. Wow.
My daughter, who has never even mentioned sports to me, basically texted me. She said, did you see that last play of the Minnesota game?
Were you watching?
No, I was not watching. but we were traveling. And my daughter's dating a guy from Minneapolis, so...
Touched home. Scotty, what are you going to recommend for us?
I am a member of SAG, and so this is we have to we get all the CDs and
party at Stanislaus.
Oh well, yeah, we get to sit there and watch all these things, which is great.
All of the nominated films, yeah, and many of the TV shows,
yes,
are sent to you as a voting member.
Yes, which is awesome. But if I could recommend one or two,
you're not supposed to lend
those
out, by the way.
I don't. So don't ask.
You don't.
No.
I was a little lending library to my neighborhood for those.
Are you? Okay. It says don't at the beginning.
Former member of SAG. Yeah.
Anyway, Shape of Water. If I had to pick one or two of the films, it would be Shape of Water. Was terrific. Romantic, beautifully. If you like a truly beautiful, sumptuous movie, every frame is just thought out. And
do you agree with me that's one of those movies that within 5 minutes you know you're in or you're out?
Yes.
It is such a fairy tale. If you don't buy in, if 20 minutes into this movie you think, I don't like this, I would leave and at least save your time because you've lost your money and you're not going to like this movie. But if you agree to go with the improbabilities of it,
exactly.
it's a great movie.
A TV show like, do you remember Pushing Daisies? It was very much a fantasy, saturated colors and just a wonderful, and people either love that show or they hated it. The reason it lasted two seasons. My runner-up is Get Out, which is just a fabulous, fun, surprising film.
Oh yeah, each scene you do not know what's going to happen. Get Out to me is one of the two best movies of the year.
What's your other one?
The other one was Three Billboards.
Yeah, there are elements of that I
thought Three Billboards was again another
she's
movie.
She's amazing.
Frances McDormand, and you do not know what's going to happen with the characters or with the scene or how that movie's going to end. You do not know how that movie's going to end. If you think you do, you don't. It's really, and Get Out is the same way, isn't it? I mean, completely different films. So Eric, you gave us your recommendation, which is to watch the Minnesota Vikings game last weekend.
My recommendation, I said I was traveling, and one of the things we did on the trip, we listened to the audiobook of Atul Gawande's Being Mortal. Have you heard of that book? May have even come up on this podcast before. But basically, it's a look at what it means to grow older and what the options we have for our aging parents, our aging friends, and our aging selves.
Yeah, you're kind of obsessing about this, isn't
you? I am, in part because of what's going on in my own family and going on with Johanna's family, and also turning 60 made me think about these things. So it's a very well done book.
Why don't you write a cranky old man column and he did one of the best columns on this.
And it actually got me to talk to my son and his wife. We were visiting out in the UK, and we sat down and said, have you and your brother had the talk, our two kids? And they go, what do you mean, the talk? When your mother and I, when we get old, what are you going to do with us? And they looked at each other like, well, Trevor will take care of you. And then Trevor, of course, we asked him the same question. He says, well, Spencer will take care of you. It's like, oh, we are so screwed.
My recommendation is to go to my Facebook page. I'm King John on Facebook. There, the reference to grayscaling your phone will be explained on my Facebook page. Just scroll down to a couple of posts. If you want your phone to be less addictive, this will do that, but you'll hate yourself for it. I'll just leave it at that. It's on my Facebook page. I'm King John. Hey, Ben Gortez, thanks for engineering the Mincing Rascals. Scott and Eric, thanks for being here. Steve Bertrand had to run do some radio. Kristen McQuarrie will join us again soon. Mincing Rascals are produced by L.F. Garris. I'm John Williams. We'll drop another podcast on you next week.
Subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes or the Google Play Music Store. You can also listen online on the WGN Plus app or WGNradio.com. Just click on the WGN Plus tab. The Mincing Rascals podcast is a presentation of the WGN Plus podcast network. You can also catch highlights every Saturday from 11 to 11:30 a.m. on The John Williams Show on WGN Radio.